32 teams, 125 matches, and 347 goals. What a UEFA Champions League season we have been treated to. And the final certainly didn't disappoint either, with the two Madrid rivals playing out another titanic encounter in Milan. Real Madrid struck first, with Sergio Ramos scoring in his second consecutive final, but Atletico levelled matters late on through substitute Yannick Carrasco to take the contest to extra time. Ultimately, though, it was Real Madrid who emerged victorious once again.
It is Ronaldo to win it for Real Madrid, the man for the big occasion, Cristiano Ronaldo! Scores the winning penalty for Real Madrid. It's their day yet again. UEFA Champions League winners for an 11th time, more than anybody else.
We have all the key reaction and the best analysis of an enthralling final in Milan. So stay with us on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Hello, I'm Rob Daly. What a fitting way for this superb 2015-16 UEFA Champions League to finish, with drama right until the end. It finished at the Stadio San Siro in Milan. Real Madrid won, Atletico Madrid won after extra time. Real Madrid winning it 5-3 on penalties. So let's hear the full story of the final. What a game it was. UEFA.com's Adam Summerton describes the action.
Strap yourselves in, it's going to be quite a ride, I suspect, tonight at San Siro. Swung into a great area, and it's been turned in, and it's Sergio Ramos, the scourge of Atleti in 2014. He's got the opener in the 2016 UEFA Champions League final. Playing it about quickly here, Atleti, Griezmann into the air for Torres, who goes down, penalty to Atleti, less than a minute into the second half. Griezmann stood unmoved, hands on his hips to the right of the ball. Now he makes his move up. He hits it left-footed and it's off the crossbar and bounces to safety. Juan Fran continued his run. Great ball in! Equaliser! It's Carrasco who's levelled the game. It's an equaliser for Atletico. It is game on here in Milan. There is the full-time whistle. It will be penalties to decide the 2016 UEFA Champions League final. Juan Fran now for Atletico. Oh, he's hit the post! Real Madrid celebrate! It's the first miss of the shootout. It is Ronaldo to win it for Real Madrid, the man for the big occasion. Cristiano Ronaldo scores the winning penalty for Real Madrid. It's their day yet again. UEFA Champions League winners for an 11th time, more than anybody else. And this year, it is Real Madrid's. They are the 2016 UEFA Champions League winners. As the white confetti blows into the air, the white ribbons on the famous trophy lifted by Sergio Ramos.
European champions for an astonishing 11th time. Real Madrid winning it in the shootout as Ronaldo and his teammates celebrate in front of the travelling Real Madrid supporters, with dozens of cameramen taking photos of them at the moment, enjoying their moment out on this famous pitch. Adam Summerton joins us now on the show. Andy Brassel with us as well, European football expert. Adam, with you first, was there any doubt in your mind when you were commentating on that moment that Ronaldo was going to finish the final?
Not a massive amount, if I'm honest. Probably 70-30, you can never rule it out. But you've got to, I mean, you have to back him, don't you, in those sort of situations? Because, as I said in the commentary, he is the man for the big occasion, you know? And so you kind of expect him to score. And we saw some great penalties, didn't we? Just that one. I mean, even Juan Fran was only just, only just a miss hitting the post. There were some, and credit to the players actually for that, because as Andy said in the commentary, you know, they'd given so much, and loads of them literally limped up the steps to get their medals. They'd given everything, and you expect that in a UEFA Champions League final, because it means everything to those players. But credit to Cristiano Ronaldo, didn't have his best game, anywhere near his best game, but he's still been the match winner.
Andy Brassel, the game had an odd flow to it in a sense that Atletico had more possession over the course of the whole game compared to Real Madrid, and I don't think anyone was expecting that.
No, that's right, and they almost got themselves in the position where they answered that ultimate challenge, that answered the challenge of making the game, because they were close. I mean, they couldn't have been much closer to breaking their European Champions Club Cup, UEFA Champions League duck. So close, and that's why it's so agonising. I don't think it's anything to do with the fact that it's losing a Euro derby. I don't think it's anything to do with the Real Madrid
it's
side.
It's this
of it.
Trophy,
but
right?
They've just given so much. And Fernando Torres was talking about it as early as the PSV Eindhoven game. He was saying, look, I'm a fan. I know what 1974 means. I know what 2014 means, even though I wasn't playing here. And, you know, we've got to put it right. And, you know, they really couldn't have come any closer.
No, they were all in tears at the end. And Torres did not look like a player who had won this competition before, which, of course... he has. Adam, after Real Madrid's very dominant and very impressive first half performance, Atletico changed things up in the second half, and I think it was a turnaround perhaps you could predict. You did foresee Diego Simeone would get more from his players in the second 45.
You know, I mean, we speculated at half-time, you know, what would change, would he make a change, wondered whether it might be too early, whether he might let it go, and he was decisive, Diego Simeone, so you have to credit him for that. He took off Fernandez, he's put on Carrasco, and you know, it was a change that paid dividends. But it wasn't just the change in personnel. There was slight tinkerings with placement on the pitch as well. But mostly the difference at the start of the second half was just the intensity about Atletico. It was more like I would expect them to play from having watched them before. And you know, Real Madrid in the very early stages of that second half were struggling to live with them, really. And that's, you know, they got the penalty, pushed it again after that. But Carrasco had a massive impact. I thought that he offered a threat. I mean, we saw Koke come more central, didn't we, as a result of the fact that Carrasco was down the left, and they looked a better team like that.
Yeah, he was. I mean, Carrasco in particular, Andy, when he came on was very impressive. What do you think he did that disrupted Real Madrid a little bit?
Which just gave them something else to think about, certainly in terms of shape. And it was all about, you know, the press in the final third, really, and the anticipation of that from Real Madrid. Just look at the incident that led to the penalty. It was a really panicked challenge by Pep on Fernando Torres. It was a very, very good turn, a good pass into him by Griezmann. But I think you look back at that moment and you think, well, you know, Yannick Carrasco's equaliser sort of pardoned Antoine Griezmann in a sense. But if Atletico had equalised then and they'd have had, what, 43, 44 minutes ahead of them to continue putting that pressure on, you wonder if it could have been a little bit different. It's hard not to think that.
Yeah, it is. Looking at the number of chances created as well, Adam, Real Madrid did end up having more, 25 attempts on goal to Atletico's 18. And there were some nervy moments at the back for Atletico. I mean, Gareth Bale had one off the line. There were a few there that Jan Oblak had to bail them out on as well.
Yeah, I thought Gareth Bale played well, by the way.
Very well.
He was excellent, yeah.
And Casemiro, I think, deserves a big mention as well. I just think that the role he performs in that team is so important, and it gives the players like Bale and Ronaldo and Benzema, they can, you know, just he breaks up the possession and feeds Modric, who very often will start the attacks, you know, and he just makes that side for me. And they probably just edged it, you know, when you think you start to sort of digest the game, don't you?
Yeah.
And start to, they probably just about edged it. But we talk about nervy moments at the back for Atletico. Look, there were two challenges in that game. Both were fouls from Sergio Ramos and another one from Pepe that were fouls that they were booked for, I think. I think both were booked. They'd not made those challenges. They were surging forward, Atletico, and they might well have scored. They were really stretched at the back. You know, it just shows you such fine margins there are at this level. Because if Sergio Ramos doesn't commit that foul, you know, we could be talking about a very different story here.
Zinedine Zidane was out there celebrating with his players as well on the pitch. Named Real Madrid head coach on January the 4th, 2016. He got his UEFA Pro license to coach at this level a year ago. Andy, how much credit does he deserve for Real Madrid's success in the second half of the season?
A lot, because it's not just about the second half of the season. It's about the fact that he was able to, you know, as a legend of the game, be really self-critical after their last defeat to Atletico in La Liga at the Bernabeu back in March, and to say that they're a better team than us, they're a better collective than us. We all have to question ourselves. I might not be here next season if we continue playing like this. You know, the president might not be here, some of the players might not be here. To have that brutal honesty, and, you know, it's always, as Adam was saying earlier, about politics at Real Madrid, but he's the one who could step above that and, you know, not worry about treading on eggshells.
I mean, someone like James hasn't really had much of a looking under him. And in my head, I would have thought, you mentioned Casemiro there, it's interesting because I would have thought James was the type of player he would like, but you made the very valid point that Casemiro is exactly the type of player that Zidane appreciates.
Yeah, he's his Makalele. He knows how important that sort of player is to the team, because he knows how much he missed Makalele and how much Real Madrid missed Makalele when he went in 2003. And, you know, of course, there was the title drought, and it allowed Barcelona to take over after the Frenchman disappeared to Chelsea. So I think that's a great starting block. They came so close in La Liga, which is an extraordinary achievement for them, because they were so far off to take it onto the final day of the season, to push Barcelona to do their very best in the last four or five games.
To be top in a live league table at one point as well.
Yeah, that's right. 15 minutes into the final day, it was an incredible achievement. So, of course, this always means more than La Liga. The UEFA Champions League is the yardstick by which this club measures itself, and so he's already done more than enough this season.
Certainly has. Zinedine Zidane becomes the seventh man to win this trophy as a player and a coach. Miguel Munoz, Trapattoni, Johan Cruyff, Carlo Ancelotti, Frank Rijkaard and Pep Guardiola. Pretty good company, Andy.
Not bad at all.
not bad at all. So in less than 5 months in charge, Zinedine Zidane is a UEFA Champions League winner. Let's hear from a man who's now won it three times as a player, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Well, you know, the penalties is always lottery. You never know what's going to happen. But we show that our team have more experience. And we show that we score all the penalties. So it was unbelievable. Fantastic night.
And you made the point as well earlier on in the show about Ronaldo taking the fifth penalty and how that actually backfired for Portugal at European Championships.
That's right. Well, he was criticised in the semi-final of UEFA Euro 2012 in some quarters for being the fifth penalty in it not getting to five penalties.
Yeah.
After the misses by his colleagues before that. And it's really unfair. You have to have huge guts to take penalty number five. Didier Drogba had already shown in the UEFA Champions League final that year that he had the nerve to do it. Cristiano Ronaldo had the nerve to do it, but it didn't get that far. This time, his teammates came through for him, and, you know, he made the most of it.
Gareth Bale, one of those helping him out to get to that fifth penalty, hobbling his way up
bravely
to score his penalty. Let's hear from the Welsh international now.
It was difficult in extra time, a lot of people getting cramped, but we showed the resilience, we showed what we're made of, and an amazing feeling. I can't describe to you how it feels. The boys give everything. The club, the fans have been amazing on this journey, and we deserve it. We obviously, they give it a great game, and we're obviously feeling a little bit sorry for him, but we're going to say a final's a final and you have to win.
Well, he scored the goal to make it 2-1 in the final 2 years ago against Atletico. Stepped up with a penalty. He was one of Real Madrid's more impressive performers, and he looks so at home with this level, Andy, now.
He does, and what magnanimous words as well. You know, the guy's just a class act all over. And I think you look at the players who are the very elite of the game, and they improve something each year. And you look at the fact that, you know, no one in Europe's top five leagues has scored more headed goals than him this year.
It's extraordinary.
And his header was, and his header and his movement were integral in that opening goal for Sergio Ramos. The way he kept going and didn't give in when he was one of the biggest sufferers from cramp, and he was still suffering from it when he took the penalty, but held his nerve and just did a great job. You know, everything about him is great. The idea that him and Cristiano Ronaldo can't work together is clearly proved to be nonsense as well. They work wonderfully well together, and it gives them that wonderful adaptability. I mean, it was great to see as Real Madrid were coming under pressure, Gareth Bale dropped back into almost his old left-back role and cover Marcelo and clear balls. He did so much all over the pitch.
Adam Summerton, our commentator for the game, has been getting us a little bit more reaction. We've heard from Ronaldo and Bale. Adam, who else from the Real Madrid camp has been speaking?
Yeah, Luka Modric has said, we deserve to win. I feel sorry for Atletico, but I feel glad for ourselves that we won the game. This is the competition of Real Madrid. This trophy belongs to Real Madrid. It's why it's the best club in the world. We have to stay strong. Keylor Navas, it's a dream I've had since I was a boy, and today I can say it's a reality. It's a dream come true. It's been a difficult year, but I can thank God today for being good to me. I was relaxed in the penalty shootout. I knew at some point they'd miss and that we would score. Sergio Ramos has said, it's just rewards for all our hard work. We knew that this was a unique chance to make history, and after an up and down season, it was a reward. And just in terms of reaction or congratulations coming through, Lothar Matthäus, one of those congratulating Real Madrid, Vincent Kompany, the Manchester City captain, and Carlo Ancelotti as well has tweeted his congratulations to his former club.
Yeah, preparing to take charge of a Bayern, and he might come up against Zinedine Zidane next season. There was also a quote from Zidane ahead of the final, Adam, where he said that Carlo Ancelotti said to me in 2014 on the night that they won in Lisbon, I hope you get to experience a night like this as head coach. I'm sure he didn't think it was going to happen in his job 2 years later.
No. Yeah, less than 5 months later. I mean, it's just an astonishing story, but I wonder how much that Zidane picked up from Ancelotti, because I think one of the things that's been said about the way that Zidane has approached this whole Real Madrid experience in terms of being the head coach is that I think that he's probably been a lot more hands-off in terms of Benitez in terms of the way that he manages the squad, probably allows them that bit more own personal responsibility. I don't know whether he maybe talks to the squad more, asks for opinion more. You know, I doubt that would be something that Benitez.
I think that is the case, isn't it, Andy? I think they've said that Zidane is fairly open to hearing the ideas of the players.
That's right. There's no micromanagement, but I think at the same time, it's clear that he has the last word. There's no doubt about that, and you know he's been clear, I suppose, using James Rodriguez and Isco's examples. Your name doesn't matter. Your price tag doesn't matter. And Lucas Vasquez, in the other direction, is a positive example of that. That, you know, the fact that he's shown that, you know, the team is picked on merit, be good enough and you're in it, and if you're not, you'll be out.
Guys, keep thinking about your man of the match. I'll ask you that before the end of the show. Coming up, we're going to reflect on the best moments from this season's UEFA Champions League.
Dizemos não ao racismo.
Nein zum Rassismus.
Nein til racismo.
Nein de racismo.
No to racism.
No al racismo.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Manuel Neuer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Arjen Robben, Gareth Bale and Lionel Messi are just a few of the UEFA Champions League stars saying no to racism. European football, united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
Real Madrid 1, Atletico Madrid 1, Real Madrid champions of Europe again after a 5-3 penalty shootout victory at San Siro. But it's been a brilliant campaign as a whole in the UEFA Champions League. We've had a season of big stories and stunning moments.
It's an astonishing goal! He saw the keeper off his line and he's lobbed him from fully 45 metres! An equalising goal by Florenzi of Rome!
2-0 up to 4-2 down, and now they are level. Mamedi with a goal in that game, so it's 4-4 between Leverkusen and Roma.
Now no, it's there! They've re-established their lead again! Incredible! Wolfsburg back in front, and Manchester United again now are heading for elimination.
Well, they almost certainly are, because PSV are 2-1 up against Isca. Proper with a low drive from the edge of the box. For a matter of seconds, United were in the next round of the UEFA Champions League, but it looks all over for them now. And it's 2-1 to Gent now. Milicevic with a fine half volley from the edge of the area. Gent are going through it along with Zenit into the next round of the UEFA Champions League.
Coman's cross is brilliant! Equaliser! Thomas Müller for Bayern to beat Gianluigi Buffon! And it looks as though we're heading for extra time! And they're in front! Bayern have turned it around here! It is Thiago! Coman decides whether to go for goal himself! and he does, and he finds it, and Bayern are heading through to the UEFA Champions League quarter-finals.
De Bruyne on the run for Kevin De Bruyne might just have made history for Manchester City. They're heading towards the semi-finals as it stands for the first time. Heartbreak perhaps for Paris at this stage again.
Here's Ronaldo with a free kick, he's got it! A hat-trick for Cristiano Ronaldo! And you knew it had to be Ronaldo again. 14 minutes to go, and Real Madrid leading the tie for the very first time. Real Madrid 3, Wolfsburg 0. Griezmann takes it, and Griezmann scores! He can celebrate with Diego Simeone, because surely now Atletico are going through to the semi-finals of the UEFA Champions League. The holders, the champions Barcelona, are heading out.
Salmiguez to make good ground here for Atletico, and he's wriggled away from a couple of challenges. He's brilliant from Sal. He's still going here into the penalty area. Oh, and scores a quite wonderful goal. Sal for Atletico, who strike first just 10 minutes into the semi-final.
It's been pretty good. Adam and Andy have been picking their highlights from the season, and you heard many of them there. Andy, of the events that didn't involve our two finalists from the UEFA Champions League, do you have a real favourite from that bunch that we just heard from?
Well, I think the Bayern versus Juventus game was fantastic. Oh. You know, the way that Bayern got themselves 2-0 in front in Turin, four unanswered goals later in the tie from Juventus, Bayern finally started to motor. That was tremendous. One that didn't make it that I wanted to mention was Fernando Llorente's winner for Sevilla against Juventus on match day 6. Rarely have you seen a team eliminated from the UEFA Champions League work so hard to get into the UEFA Europa League, and by golly, was it worth it.
So remind me, if he hadn't scored that and they hadn't beaten Juventus,
Gladbach would have gone through. Instead, Borussia Mönchengladbach would have gone through. Sevilla would not have been able to defend their title.
Very interesting indeed. Adam, are there any moments that you've maybe perhaps even particularly commentated on this season where you've just been blown away by what you've seen?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it. I mean, the game, I mean, Müller's equaliser for Bayern, I think obviously Andy's been mentioning that. I mean, that was just a fabulous game, but I thought De Bruyne's winner for Man City against Paris, really great finish, which sent City into the semi-finals for the first time. I thought that was a great night, actually, in Manchester. I thought the crowd really reacted to that well and played their part in Manchester. Leverkusen 4, Roma 4 was another yeah. big moment, wasn't it?
Bad.
Leverkusen 4-2 down with less than 10 minutes to go. It was Mehmedi who got the equaliser, but I just think that Atletico's second leg performance against Barcelona, because they achieved what we'd said many times prior to that game this season, that was it impossible? Could a team beat Barcelona with that front three over two legs? Maybe in a one-off game, but could somebody do it over two
going
legs?
Going into that second leg, 2-1 yeah. down.
So I think for them to do it was massive. And it must make this tonight even harder to stomach, the fact that they've not only beaten Barca, but they beat Bayern as well, and they've still not won it. I mean, it just must be gut-wrenching for Simeone.
Top scorers from the competition this season. Ronaldo on top, Andy. He couldn't break his own record for an individual campaign, but 16, and to highlight how impressive it is that he scored 16 times this season, he missed the Manchester City game, the away game for starters.
Yes.
Lewandowski finished with 9, Suarez, Müller 8, Griezmann with 7. I mean, he's way out there on his own in the front.
Yeah, that's right. It really is his competition as well. And a tremendous effort throughout the season for him, which he's got stronger and stronger in as it's continued.
I mean, the Wolfsburg game is surely... I know he scored the winner in the final, in the shootout, but that was the night, wasn't it, when he scored a hat-trick when they were 2-0 down from the first leg against Wolfsburg?
Absolutely, and those two quick goals that turned it around. It could have been difficult. There was always the threat of Wolfsburg getting a goal on the counter, which would have made it an absolute mountain to climb for El Real. So, yeah, that was huge.
With this season's competition now complete, you might be wondering which teams have already qualified for the 2016-17 UEFA Champions League. Let's just run through some of these now. So from Spain, unsurprisingly, And remember, only the top three automatically go into the group stage, so the fourth place team have to go through the qualifiers in some of these leagues. Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico, Leicester, competition debutants, Arsenal and Tottenham. Germany, it's Bayern, Dortmund and Leverkusen, who finished the season very strongly indeed. Italy, champions Juve and joined by Napoli. Portugal, all Lisbon, Benfica and Sporting. France, Paris Saint-Germain and Lyon. Russia, CSKA Moscow winning the title recently and qualifying for the group stage. Dynamo Kiev from Ukraine, PSV Eindhoven, who had a great season, only beaten by Atletico on penalties in the round of 16 this year. Club Brugge, Belgian champions this season. Basel from Switzerland. Besiktas, Mario Gomez, so vital for them, firing them to glory in Istanbul in a year when they move to their new stadium. And Sevilla, as UEFA Europa League winners, qualify for the group stage again. I mean, it actually came down to a point where that was their best bet to get back in the UEFA Champions League, was to win the UEFA Europa League.
Yeah,
surreal.
It wasn't just about that, though. The fact that they kind of struggled in the end of their league campaign, one win in the last 10 La Liga games, but of course they had their eye on the Copa del Rey final, which they came so close to winning as well, and what a tremendous week that would have been. But I don't think they were looking at qualifying for the UEFA Champions League, but winning the title for the sake of it. And that's what football's all about.
In the playoffs next season as well for the UEFA Champions, we know that Villarreal, having finished fourth in Spain, will be there, along with Manchester City. Borussia Mönchengladbach, who finished inside the top four in Germany again. Roma, who finished third in Italy. And Porto, who were off the top two in Portugal in the end, but they can still qualify for the group stage. And a reminder, the next season's final will take place at the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff, Wales, on May 2017. So let's focus back on Real Madrid's victory against Atletico. It's time for your man of the matches, guys, and give us a reason why as well. Starting with you, Andy.
The man who held it all together, the man who's held it together for a lot of the season for Real Madrid, Casemiro.
Adam.
I knew you was going to say that.
Why is it? Did you want to say Casemiro?
I wasn't sure. I narrowed it down to three on either team, but I suppose it's a bit unusual, this, but I'm going to go for a player on the losing team. I'm going to say Gabby, partly to be different.
Yeah, I mean, in the second half, he just suddenly came into his own, didn't he?
Yeah, very much for his second half performance. I thought first half it wasn't the Gabby that we're used to seeing, but certainly second half. And you could make an argument as well for Carrasco, who came on at half-time and changed the game in many ways for Atletico, but got to pick one, so I'll go for Gabby.
It's funny, I went first, but I didn't go for Gabby because I thought you'd go for Casemiro.
Oh, you're too polite, the two of you. Gents, thank you very much for joining us, and thank you to everyone who's been tweeting us, not just tonight, but throughout the course of the whole season, using the hashtag MatchdayLife. We've really enjoyed your company. That's all we have time for. What a dramatic end we've had to another superb season in the UEFA Champions League. Since the start of the group stage in September, there have been 125 matches and 347 goals, and we've told you about every single one of them here on Match Day Live. It all came down to yet to another clash between the two rivals from the Spanish capital, with Real Madrid once again prevailing over their neighbours Atletico, this time 5-3 in a dramatic penalty shootout to win an unprecedented 11th European Cup. Thanks to all of our commentators, experts, producers and guests throughout the season, and most importantly to you for listening. But for now, from Andy Brassel, Adam Summerton and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye, and we'll leave you with the key moments from a thrilling 2016 UEFA Champions League final.
Swung into a great area and it's been turned in, and it's Sergio Ramos, the scourge of Athletic in 2014. He's got the opener in the 2016 UEFA Champions League final.
Juan Fran's continued his run. Great ball in!
It's an equaliser for Atletico. It is game on here in Milan.
Juan Fran now for Atletico.
Oh, he's hit the post. Real Madrid celebrate. It's the first miss of the shootout.
It is Ronaldo to win it for Real Madrid. The man for the big occasion.
Cristiano Ronaldo scores the winning penalty for Real Madrid. It's their day yet again. UEFA Champions League winners. For an 11th time, more than anybody else.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.